against your family, your health, your finances, your joy, your happiness. So many things come against us in a week's time that we could maybe want to quit. Maybe we just say, you know what, this has gotten too hard. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I can stand one more day of this. I wanted to tell you right now, take a good look around you, because you are standing right now. By the grace of God, you're able to stand. And so if there's some things going on in your life that you're troubled about, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands right now. If there's an infirmity on your body, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Because, see, God is going to meet you right where you're at. God is going to meet you right where you're at today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, God, under the sound of my voice. Lord, whether they're in this congregation, God, whether they're on Facebook, YouTube, streaming, however they're hearing me, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now. I call out addiction, God, all over Logan County, and I tell it to be broken off of this city right now in Jesus' name. God, for every person in need of a healing in their body, God, I ask that you would heal them. Spirit, soul, and body. Lord, for every person, they're saying, God, I want to make a change. Lord, I ask that you would help them to make that change. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am excited to be here this morning. How many of you feel like you lost an hour of sleep? I'm not going to lie, I had a little bit of trouble this morning. I had a little bit of trouble, but you know what? I am so glad that we are on this time frame. I love it. I love the daylight. I like to make my mind think that I'm going to exercise when I know I probably will not, but I like it. So anyhow, I have begun, and I've never done this before. I've preached since I was 19 years old. My mom says, no, Kelly, that's not right. You used to preach in the backyard to all the June bugs when you were six. So I guess you could say I've been preaching since I was six, but I preached my official message behind a pulpit when I was 19 years old. So I've almost preached for 20 years. I've pastored for almost four. My dad, Pastor Angelo, he founded Parish Christian Center in 87, and it would not be what it is today without him. Daddy, will you stand up? Amen. I've learned that people like to know the history of a church because you know what you should. You should want to know what's going on in the church that you go to and to know where we came from, how we got here, why things are the way that they are. And at the beginning of the year in January, God began to minister to me that, you know, Kelly, I want people like never before to really know who they are. The good, the bad, the ugly, and all the way in between. And so I began to preach series of messages, and I'm on my third series, and this one is going to be on the inner man. Now, I made the mistake of the last time that I was preaching a series, and that was in February. I began to preach a series called Being Better Believers. And, Tanya, I told everybody one particular Sunday we were going to preach about gossiping. Half of the congregation did not show up. And Dad goes, Kelly, you shouldn't have told them you were going to preach on gossiping. But no, y'all told me you were all sick. But anyways, now that's a joke. Now, I joke a lot. I'm also serious. But you know, I will get my point across one way or the other. I'll have you laughing or crying or mad or offended at some point during the service, I'm sure. But we are going to minister on the inner man. And I believe that it is so important for people to understand what we're made of. Now, we are made of spirit, soul, and body. And today I'm going to focus on the outer man and the inner man. So if you will go with me now to John chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 23. Now, your spirit, we said there were three parts to us, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is your inner man, and that inner man is where God comes in, and he begins to commune with you. He begins to fellowship with you. He begins to, his spirit begins to breathe life into your spirit, and we begin to be able to communicate and fellowship with God. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means simply you begin to have a relationship with God. One of the things that Joyce Meyer says, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, is Christ did not come for you to have a religion. He came for you to have a relationship. Amen. He didn't come for you to have a religion. And see, religion is just not going to cut it in this generation, because religion would tell you where you can't, your dress is too short. You're not wearing long enough sleeves. The women, you can't wear makeup, this and that. And you know what? Just away with that, because that's religion. It's religion. Because you don't ever find in the Bible where Christ said, well, you can't wear this and you can't do this and you have to look a certain way to be able to come in. So no, God will meet you where you're at, and God wants you in your darkest of times, in your best of times. He wants you completely, entirely, every day. And so we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is your inner man. And so in John chapter 4, verse 23, it says here, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And what I want to ask you this morning is, are you a true worshiper? Are you a true worshiper? I'm not talking about, do you go to church on Sundays? I'm not talking about if you put something in the offering bucket when it comes around. I'm not talking about if you did a number 10 in the sins or whatever. I'm talking about, what are you? What are you made of? Are you a believer? Are you a true worshiper? And only you can answer that question. But the Word says a time is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Now, when I looked up the word, what does seek mean? It means attempts or desires to obtain. And I want to tell you that God seeks for you. He seeks to obtain your worship. He seeks to obtain a relationship from you. And to me, that's amazing, that God that made everything is so interested in us. Amen? I'm sure at moments, if you've been a believer at any point in time, you can say, you know, God in this moment of time stopped everything he was doing just to help me, just to be there for me, just to pull me out of a place that I could not get out of on my own. See, the problem with people is they forget where they came from. Sometimes people have been saved for so long, they've gone through a routine for so long, that they forget where God took them out of. And they forget that it's just as relevant today to stay humble as it was when you were messed up. Because, see, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. And, see, we can't look to the left or to the right and be judging people, because what we realize is that at some point in time, we were those people. We were the one that was needing someone to reach out and to love us. And so we're talking today about the inner man. The inner man. I'm convinced that you really know who you are when you go through the worst of the worst. You want to know who you are? Get yourself up in a battle and you fight and you sit there and you press in. See, what you're going to do is you're either going to quit or you're going to get stronger, and that's your decision. But you will find out who you are very quickly when you go through a battle. You'll find out. And it says, they must worship him in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship God? With the inner man, with that inward part of us. You know, there's so many times in a worship service where what I have to do is I have to say, God, right now, everything that I'm concerned about, I'm going to set that to the side. And God, in my heart of hearts, I'm going to worship you right now. God, it does not matter what is going on in my life. It does not matter what is going on in my family. It does not matter what is going on in the church. It does not matter people are opening and shutting and slamming the doors. It don't matter. I don't care what kind of song that they're singing up on the stage. I don't care if the lights are perfect. I don't care about if it's too hot or if it's too cold. God, in Jesus' name, in this moment in time, God, I'm going to put up my hands and I'm going to worship you because, God, there's some things inside of me that I want your spirit to begin to talk to my spirit and get me straightened out. And that can only be done in the inner part, the inner man, the inner person of who you are. And see, we live in such a world where everything is just a click away, right? I mean, if we want something, if I got to have toilet paper, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on Amazon because I don't want to go inside of anywhere that I don't have to. I want it to be delivered to the door. Amazon. If I feel like getting something to eat, I'm going to call it in. Everything is such a click away. And what that has conditioned us to do is to not, you can't just be a click away from Jesus. There's parts of that relationship that you're going to have to work on, that you're going to have to say, you know what, God, I'm going to carve out some time just to be with you, just to commune with you, just to fellowship with you. And see, we're in such a fast-paced world where people, they're just clicking at everything that we wonder, why am I so spiritually starved? It's because you didn't make time to be with God. That inner man is real skinny. He's starving for that time with God, that relationship with him. Your inner person was made to worship the one true living God. You know, I remember in the pandemic, I tell you what, when God called me, he called me right at the beginning of the pandemic. And at that time, that made me so angry at God because I thought, oh my God, are you kidding? You want a young female pastor to pastor in a small town and in the middle of a pandemic, which none of us have ever seen, and Germex has just gone up to like $200 for a gallon of it. You mean you want me to preach in this time? This is when you called me out? And God said, yeah, Kelly. And he began to work on things. Everything that got on my nerves, God would allow it to happen. I said, Lord, I ain't going to go and preach outside. He said, yeah, that's exactly what you're going to do. Now get your butt outside. I preached outside for like 3 or 4 months. I began to sit there and freak out about all sorts of things. Then I had a flood and a leak in the back of the church. I had a plumber in the back digging up the foundation of the church. At one point in time, I could see the dirt in the ground through the women's bathroom. And here's the plumber, and he's like head deep. He's in this hole in the women's bathroom. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. But if there is something that I know about God, is in that season of my life, my inner person was able to really grow because everything that was a hindrance to me, God began to mold it. God began to say, you know what, Kelly, you're going to get over that. I remember at one point in time, I was preaching a message, and anybody, if you listen to the first year of my messages, what you'll hear is you'll hear an angry person. You'll hear an angry person. And you know what? There's times in your life where you're angry. There's times in your life where you're hurting. There's times in your life where you're going through a depression that you don't know if you'll ever be able to get out of it. I want to tell you something. You're going to be able to move forward in Jesus' name. You're going to be able to go about and be your best person. But you know what? Your inner person, you cannot starve it and expect to have a good life. You cannot forget Jesus and expect to be able to move on and do your best. It's not going to work. We were on our honeymoon, we were at a show. Now, if you're religious, you're not going to like this. But I'm going to tell you what show we went to. It was called the Chris Angel Show. Now, I've always liked little magic shows. Now, if you're judging me right now, you're going to have to get yourself in check. Amen? And I was a little set back. I was like, wow, I don't know what we just got up into, honey. I was just like a little taken back. And at the end of the show, the guy stops the show. He's a very successful person. You know what? The world takes all kinds. I mean, if you want to dye your hair black and flip off of the ladder and do weird little things, that's great. Whatever. He gets up and he goes, you know, my son, God healed my 8-year-old son from cancer. And he began to talk about God. And see, that's why you can't judge people. It's exactly why you can't judge them. I would have never guessed the dude was a Christian, but he was. And he is. He began to minister about how God can heal. He began to minister about God, how God can set you free. He began to minister about all the changes that God had made inside of him. And this dude looked rough. And then he said, he ended his show with these words, without God, you're nothing. Without God, you're nothing. And I want to tell you something. God has got a good life in store for you, but it will not begin until you're with him. Why is that? Because, see, the word says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. You haven't really lived till you've lived in him. You haven't really been till you've been in him. You haven't really moved in power till you've moved with him. Let's go now to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. We were honored yesterday, Frank and I. This is so funny. The other day, my dad called and he said, Kelly, now, those of you that don't know Sister Millie real well, she's got a very dry sense of humor. It's very dry. How many of you have a dry sense of humor? I can believe that, Paul. Sister Millie's very dry. And in fact, you don't even notice she's making a joke until, like, you've thought about it for about 5 hours and you're like, huh, I think she was joking. But Dad called me the other day and he goes, Kelly, your mom leaned over to me the other day and she said, Ange, do you realize that our baby Kelly Mae is a grandmother? And that sounds funny because I'm 37 years old. But we do. Apparently I have 7 of them. And yesterday we had a birthday party for our 1-year-old granddaughter, Marlo. And I loved what the mom did. When it's your first baby, you know you do things that you don't do ever again. It don't matter how many kids you got. You do it for that one, and that's it. And so I don't know if Madison will be that way, but probably not. She's a very organized young lady. Anyway, she handed us out these sheets, and she wanted us to write a little note to Marlo for her to open when she gets 18 years old. And I gave it to Frank. I said, here, this is your granddaughter. Write something to Marlo. He goes, no, I don't know what to write. Typical man. I don't know what to write. Here, you write it. I thought, okay. So I began to write, and I thought, what would I tell my 18-year-old self? And I gave her 2 Bible verses, Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11, and then I gave her Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And so in Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to read here in a moment. And one of the things that I really want to stress to you is to seek God out with your inner man. To seek him out. To seek him out. Look for him. And it says here in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you're in a place in your life and you're saying, God, I don't even know what's up and what's down, I want to tell you that God knows the plan. He knows what he wants to do in your life. He knows the plan. I don't care if you're 8 or if you're 80. God knows the plan. Sometimes people, they get older and they begin to rule themselves out. Well, I'm 60 or I'm 70 or I'm this. Don't do that to yourself because your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. And here it is, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. Now, here's what your inner man has to be able to do. Then you will call upon me. So here's the first thing. You're going to call on God and you're going to come. And you're going to pray, and then I will listen. So see, there's an order. We serve a God of order. We do not serve a God of disorder. Last Wednesday, my dad gave what I think is one of the best messages that I've ever heard. And then at the end of the message, there was something prompting me, and it was that inner person. And sometimes there's a block in your prayer life. Sometimes there's a hindrance. Sometimes you feel like there is something in between you and God. And I had been very troubled about this for several months. And there was a disconnect there. And I felt the troubling of the waters, per se. And he was about to sit down. And I hate when he sits down and then I have to get him to get back up, because that's rude to do to people that are 72 years old. And I said, don't sit down. And God had begun to speak to my heart, and he said, Kelly, if you'll have him pray, this is leaving you, and it's leaving you tonight. And I said, Dad, don't sit down, because, see, I need some prayer. And he said, well, what do you need prayer for? And I said, I need prayer for my mind. See, where is the devil going to attack you at in your mind? Whatever you can think of, you'll do it, good or bad. Whatever the devil's telling you in your mind, that's what you'll begin to feel about yourself, unless your inner man is strong enough to cast down every thought and every imagination that does not line up with the Word of God, that doesn't line up with what God says about you. Now, there's an order, and it says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There is trouble with people because, see, God, we want to just click or swipe right, and he's right there taking care of all of our needs. Let me tell you something. Draw close to him, and he's going to draw close to you. Draw close to him. You'll call on me. Sometimes we call on him, but then we don't come to him. And we wonder why our prayers are messed up. We wonder why there's a thing in our life that we're struggling with and we can't seem to get past it. It says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You got to call on God, you got to come to him, and you have to pray. And then he promises to listen. Now in verse 13 it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I want to tell you this morning, half-hearted efforts towards God are not going to get you anywhere. Why? Because when God gave his son to die for all of us, he gave us his whole heart. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's a very hard thing for most people to do. This week, I got so sick. I have not been that sick since I had kids. I was vomiting, and I was doing some other things that most newlywed couples don't like their spouse to see them doing. It was not good. I'm still sore when I laugh. I'm still sore in my chest because I vomited for like 4 hours till there was nothing left. And I got in the bed, and I pulled the covers up, and I just began to cry. And my husband comes in there, and he goes, what are you crying about? And I just couldn't even tell him, because I was like, I don't want him realizing how crazy I am. Wouldn't be good. But I was just weeping, because God just began to tell me. See, God had been wanting to just have a moment with me where he could talk to me. You know, you can gain the whole world but lose your soul. You can do so much, and it's all for a good purpose, but that inner man is still starving. And God got me up in that bed, and I said, Daddy God, I'm so sorry. And I just began to weep, and I was weeping because he was telling me how much he loved me. Kelly, I love you so much. Kelly, I love you so much. Kelly, we're going to get through this. See, your inner man needs that moment with God. You know, when you start in a relationship and you begin to fall in love with someone, you have moments that you say, I'll never forget this moment. Maybe you danced with your wife. Maybe you did this. Maybe you did that. See, and we do all these things for planning a wedding. These two are about to they're planning a wedding, a big wedding. And we want everything to be right, and we put so much thought in what color are the dresses, and what is this, and what are the flowers. And see, we do all this stuff because we've fallen in love, and we've carved out all of these preparations for that moment in time. And unless we do that with God, there's going to be a disconnect. And that disconnect is going to be with our inner man. So, it says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And I want to tell you something this morning. God always has a comeback for you. He always has a comeback. Whatever you think has set you back, God will use that very thing, and he will use it to set you forward. Whatever you think that thing is, God always has a comeback. What does he say in his word? I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. See, get your spirit man, get your heart in line with the word of God. Get your soul in line with the word of God. See, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what you can build your life on. You can't build it on anything else and it ever go right. This is what you can build your family on. This is what you can build your finances on. This is what you can build your health on. This is what you can build your recovery on. This and this alone. Everything else will let you down. And so you've got to get your spirit man, your inner man, in line with what the word says. And then you're on your way to having your best life. Am I saying that you don't struggle? No, you'll struggle, but there will be a difference there. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 51. And in that verse that we just read, back in Jeremiah, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will bring you back out of exile. I will bring you up out of captivity. A couple days ago, Frank and I were talking, and we were praying for somebody, and we were talking about them. And I said, you know, a lot of times what I see God do with people, see, the word says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. See, God is not a mean God. He's not going to come in and look to discipline you and be mean to you all the time. He just stands at that door and he just knocks. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone will open that door and let me come in, I will come in and I will sup with them. I will commune with them. I will fellowship with them. I will restore to them what the enemy has stolen. I will turn their life around. See, God knocks. And there are times where people just don't answer the door. And I said, you know, sweetie, what happens many times is people don't answer the door, and what God will do is he will allow people to go through some things. Does God do it to them? No. No, he doesn't. But will God allow people? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. There's been stupid things that I've done in life. Were they wrong? Yes. Did God make me to where I didn't do them? No, I did them. He allowed me to do them. And then I suffered consequences for those things. And my choices created consequences, which created depression, which created moments of where I had to get my life right. But in the end, what it did was it turned me right back around to those moments in time where God would knock on those doors. See, God will allow people at times to go to a certain point, and then he'll knock again. And see, so many times we get frustrated with people. I don't know if y'all got any family members that frustrate you. Do you? Or am I the only one with a messed up family? Praise God, we're all honest in here today. What we think is going to help our family members is if we just give them the good old silent treatment or be mean to them or whatever. I've started praying, God, help them to answer the door. God, let them go through that moment that they're just hellbound on going to. But God, in the end, Lord, let them answer the door. See, there's times where we think that, oh, this person is going through this and, oh, you know, whatever. No, what they need is they need that moment in time with God. Do you remember when God saved you? Do you remember when you felt all alone? And in that moment in time, you felt God, and in that moment, everything changed. I remember when I was 7 years old, I woke up, and it was my birthday. And I don't know what it was, but Larry, there was something that had come over me where for the first time in my life, I felt convicted in my heart. I got on my knees, and I began to pray at 7 years old. See, don't tell me God don't talk to kids. God talks to kids. He probably has an easier time talking to kids than he does adults, because adults just think they know it all. I began to pray. My dad walks in. He goes, Kelly, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying about my soul. Look here. I've had to get on my knees many times and pray about my soul. Let me tell you something. That inner person. There's people in here that say, I know, I just can't catch a break. I this and I that. You need to stop that I, and you need to start talking to God, and you need to get that inner man in line with the Word. You have to have a relationship with Him. You have to be able to fellowship with Him. You got to get that part of you. You know, so many people, I have them talk to me all the time. It's insane. They'll say, Pastor Kelly, Parish Christian Center is my church. I'm like, really? I don't ever see you. See, you got to get off your butt if you're able. And you got to be a doer of the Word. Church is not going to bring you to heaven. Do we all get that? Do you understand that because you're here today, that doesn't mean you're getting in? Do we understand that? Because if we don't, I need to be a better pastor. Because church attendance on its own is not getting you there. A relationship is. That's why the Word says, work out your own salvation. See, you can't work out Sally Sue's salvation or Billy Joe's. You got to work on your own salvation. And it's hard work. Some people say, you know, Pastor, how do you think I was able to just cuss somebody out in the grocery store? Well, I'll tell you how you did it. You started thinking about cussing them out in the grocery store, and you did it. Why did you do that? Well, because your inner man started that nonsense up. I had somebody ask me one time, why do you think I just punched that person right in the nose? I said, well, because you imagined yourself doing that. That's how you did it. Now you're in jail. That's how you got there. Our inner man. Psalms chapter 51. I'm going to read at verse 6. Surely you desire truth in the inner part. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Surely God desires for us to be truthful in the inner man, in the inner person of who we are. It's very hard for people to be honest with themselves. Most of the time, people are justifying and making excuses for everything that they're doing that they know is wrong. People are justifying why they're not doing what God told them to do. Oh, somebody else will do it. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, that's not really God. Well, oh, Don't wonder why stuff has gotten messed up. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. In verse 10, it says this right here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In another translation, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And there are things that people go through that messes up their heart, that messes up with their soul, that messes with them. Have you ever gone through a period of time where you were just not yourself? Where you did things and it was out of character? Where you did things because you were in pain, because you were in a depression, because you were having a family problem, because you were in grief, because you were in stress and anxiety? See, there are times where we get messed up. Our inner man, our inner person, we get messed up. And people, right then is a pivotal time for us to figure out what are we going to do when we get messed up. Some people want to mull through it and just act like, oh, I'm fine, everything's fine, and we're all fine. Look here, you're not fine. None of us are real fine. You get it? We all have things. In the worst of the worst, if you say, Pastor Kelly, how do I get that thing out that I feel like is standing in between me and God? You need to be open your Bible to Psalms chapter 51, and you need to begin to pray. Verse 10 through 12 over your life, and it's this right here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lay my hands on myself, and I ask you right now to clean up this heart of mine. See, sometimes we get jaded. People have done us wrong. People have messed us up. People have cheated on us, done things to us, hurt us, betray us, and all those things. And we begin to get irritated and bitter and angry at life. Maybe something didn't happen in your life that you thought that you would. You know, most of the things that we mourn is the way that we thought our life was going to go, and it didn't. I hear more people sad, Brian, because they say, Pastor, I never thought my life was going to be like this. And people mourn over the idea that never happened. Now, I want to tell you something. If that's here and that's you today, you need to get over what you thought your life was going to be and run towards the living God, because he has something far better than you ever could have imagined. That's why the word says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts, they're higher than your thoughts. Anything that you could think of so great for yourself, he's got a better idea. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. See, you don't know entirely the plan that God has for you. When I started pastoring, I could have never imagined that the food ministry would evolve the way that it did. When I started feeding senior citizens all over the county, we started out with less than 50. I never thought we'd get up to 200. It was never even my goal. See, whatever you can think up in your little pea brain head, and we all got a little pea brain head about us, whatever you think you can think up, God has a bigger plan. He's got a bigger purpose. And if you can get and move away all of the junk and get right in line with that inner person of who you are and who, you know, you were put here on earth for a destiny, for a calling. God did not put you here for nothing. And if you can tap into who you really are and who God really purposed you to be, your life is going to make a difference everywhere you go. Everywhere you go and every person that you encounter, God has you to be a difference maker wherever you go. It's up to you to do that. But see, God has that for you. It's going to start with that inner man. That inner man. Maybe your inner person is really messed up right now. I get it. I get it. Maybe that inner man is having a moment in a season of your life where you're depressed or you're numb or you're sad or you don't know what you're going to do. I understand that. And you know what? Far beyond anything I could ever understand, God understands it. God knows. God knows. And the Word says that He knows every tear. He's recorded every tear in His book, and He's collected those tears in His vessel. He knows every moment that you've suffered, every moment that you've been sad, every moment that your body has hurt. See, God knows. Get that inner man, clean away all of that stuff and say, God, I'm carving out this time right here and it's just for me and you. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Sometimes the only thing standing in between you and greatness is your attitude. Your attitude. No amens on that. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes the only thing standing in between you and your best life is your attitude. That's why David said, God created me a clean heart. God, give me a right spirit. Give me a clean spirit. Help me to be better. How many of you know you're not always in the right spirit? You're not always in the best mood. You're not always that A-plus Christian. Amen. Psalms chapter 139. And I'm going to read through these, and I'm going to do it very quickly. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. I want to tell you that nobody knows you like God does. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And God, you are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. I want to tell you this morning, God has put his hand on you. He's not taken his hand off of you. He's put his hand on you. That's the hand of favor. That's the hand of mercy. The hand of grace. See, it's on your life. It's on your whole everything. It's on your family. Get that inner man where it needs to be. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Verse 13, you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Don't tell me that God doesn't love you. You were thought about so much before you were ever even conceived. What does it say? For you created my inmost being. You created that inner man of who I am. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. I know it full well. There's times where we get messed up in our life. Just like Psalm 51, God created me a clean heart. There's times where we get unclean. There's times where we get off, where we get messed up, where our emotions get messed up. We live in a world where we're all pretty confused about things because we've accepted what God will never accept. Last place for me this morning, Proverbs chapter 20. verse 27. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. What did we say at the beginning of this message? You are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. Where is your spirit? Where is your inner man in your spirit? God takes a lamp and he searches out your inner man. He searches out who you really are. And he knows at the end of the day, right where you hurt, right where you were broken, right where you said, God, I can't anymore. He knows it. How does he know? Because see, he knows you better than you know yourself. You have not shed one tear that he has not felt himself. You have not felt one moment of grief, stress, anxiety, depression that he did not know about. It searches out his inmost being. I'm going to read that one more time. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. I want to tell you this morning that God has searched you out. He's been with you your entire life. The reason you're here today is because God has saved your life so many times that you didn't even know about. God has saved you from yourself so many times that you didn't even know about. And God has brought you to a place in time where you can say, you know what? How am I doing on the inward part of myself? Now, I want to speak to that person here this morning, and you may say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know. Maybe you do know, maybe you don't, but there's something that's been going on with me in the inward man of who I am, the inward person of who I am, and I'm not well. There's something going on, but I want to be better. I want my inward man. I want that person who I really am. There's some things inside of me that hurt, and it's holding me back. If that's you in here this morning and you want prayer, I'm going to be at the front of this church, and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to make time for prayer this morning. If there's anybody that needs that, I'm going to ask you to come forward.